Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
In the presence of the Lord, I thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Grace
and favor. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We give you glory. Hallelujah. We praise the Lord. Amen. Welcome, everybody. We're going to go ahead and get started with our biblical studies on today. We welcome you. We're at series 11, talking about pulling down strongholds, casting down every vain imagination. Hallelujah. The Lord has been so good to us as we've been studying. So I need for everybody to go ahead and grab their notes and Bible so that we can get right into the Word. So I want to make sure that I give you time to grab everything. Amen. And we're going to move right into the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of y'all know that it is always good to be in the house of the Lord? Any chance that we get, amen. And we're here right now. So you can come on if you'd like to come and sit in our Sunday. It's called our biblical studies. We're in the building, so you're welcome to come. If you're in an area, 1115 Hicks Boulevard, Suite 5, Fairfield, Ohio, 45014. It's always good to do the things that we need to do with the Lord first. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible reminds us to seek first the kingdom of God. Amen. As we seek first the kingdom of God, everything will be added unto us, right? That's right. So we won't have to go through some of the things we go through because we're in the house of the Lord. Amen. Something about seeking the Lord and being faithful to the things of God. Hallelujah. Because when you're faithful to the things of God, you're sacrificing you. Meaning, you know what? It doesn't matter what me want to do, but what do my God want me to do? Because one thing I've learned is no matter what, this world can't get me in heaven, amen. So I'm not going to choose the things of this world, amen. Anytime that I get to go into the house of the Lord, I'm going to take that time And I'm going to use it wisely. Amen. Hallelujah. Because God don't require so much from us. Hallelujah. But when we can give God something, amen, that's everything. Hallelujah. That's more than anything that we ever have. Amen. So I'm already set up here. So I just need for you to all get finished setting up, please, so that we can go into the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Through our biblical studies. There's something about biblical studies on Thursday. We really can get deep into the word of God as we begin to study. So, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, we thank you right now that you're destroying every spoken word curse, every negative word that's been spoken over our life. In the mighty name of Jesus, we come before you and we ask you, Lord God, to forgive us. Forgive us of anything that we may have said, anything that we may have done, anything that we may have fallen short of your glory, Lord God. We just ask you, oh God, to forgive us, oh God. Forgive us, oh God. Wash us, oh God. Cleanse us, oh God. Purge us, oh God. God, let us continue to walk according to your will, not our own will, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord God, we ask you, Lord God, to forgive us, oh God, for not being obedient when you told us to go to the right and we went to the left. God, show us your ways, order our steps, Lord God. Lord God, we come to you with thanksgiving. We thank you for giving us life. We thank you for waking us up. We thank you for just loving on us one more time on today. Somebody did not make it into over, crossed over, Lord God, in the land of the living. But because you gave us the ability to cross over, there's still work that we need to do. Lord, order our steps. Show us what we need to do. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, we just come and we just say thank you. Let this word, oh God, enter into our hearts, oh God. Let this word fall on the ground into our hearts, oh God, that we do not stay the same, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord God, as we come to you, oh God, in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, we know all things belong to you, oh God. God, we thank you, oh God, for forgiving us, oh God. Thank you, oh God, for hearing us, oh God. Thank you, God, for forgiving us, oh God. Thank you, God, for listening to us. Thank you, God, for acting upon us, oh God. We thank you, God, you have not delayed working through us in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord God, we thank you. We continue to hide, Lord God, beneath your wings, oh God. Continue to cover us, oh God, with your feathers to protect us, oh God, against every plan of the enemy. And we thank you that we're covered up under your wings, oh God, your wings of refuge, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for cutting every cord of the enemy, oh God. We thank you for casting them away from our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, and we humbly ask you, oh God, to continue to look over us and our families and loved ones and those that you have entrusted us with, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we plead the blood of Jesus over everyone under the sound of my voice. I plead the blood of Jesus over myself as I deliver God's word in the mighty name of Jesus. We come against every distraction. We come against every plan of the enemy that tries to hinder the word of God. In the mighty name of Jesus, and Lord God, we just thank you, we praise you, we magnify you, we glorify you, and Lord God, we just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen, and glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So let's go ahead and go into last week. By God's grace, hallelujah, God just continued to allow us to talk more and more about these different strongholds, amen. Hallelujah. We begin to talk about in 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5 is our foundational scripture. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds and casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And we talked about offenses on last week, how the spirit of offenses is one of the strongholds that really hinders the people of God. Hallelujah. And we said that people that are offended produce negative fruit. Amen. But that's why we have to be delivered from that spirit of offense. Amen. But we know that it will come. The book of Matthew 24 began to talk about how offenses will come, how we will be betrayed, how will we be hated, How will we be delivered up? And that many false prophets will come in Jesus' name. So these were warnings. God loved us so much that he warned us. He said, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Matthew 24:11. Amen. The ones whom they deceive are those who dwell inside high walls, who love, hallelujah, the things of this world. Amen. So we know that the spirit of offense releases the spirit of jealousy, hurt, anger, strife, bitterness, outrage, resentment, and hatred. Amen. Because those are the negative fruits that offense release. Remember, we said that strongholds are building blocks. They build upon one another. So when a stronghold is evident in your life, here come another one to build upon that one. So we said that we will talk about, hallelujah, on today, because we talked about the spirit of offense. We talked about the spirit of jealousy. We talked about the perversion spirit, the lying spirit, amen, which are all what? Strongholds, amen, right? We talked about familiar spirits, amen, hallelujah. That's right. We talked about, we did. We talked and we said and we talked about the spirit of divination, amen, that's right. And then we talked about the spirit of grief, the spirit of mourning. Amen. We understand that God gives us a time to do those things. Amen. And we begin to break those things down. Amen. And I said that we were going to talk about, let me see. Here we go right here. We talked about the spirit of heaviness. We talked about the spirit of rejection. And I said we was going to hold off and talk about the spirit of depression because it was a little bit lengthy. And so we continued to talk about the spirit of grief. And, yeah, so I want us to go and talk a little bit about the spirit of depression. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So let me read a passage of scripture. It says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, he is my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Amen. Psalms 91:2. So our trust must be in the Lord. Amen. Especially when the enemy comes to try to what? Bring destruction on us. Amen. We must loose the spirit of heaviness, because remember we talked about the spirit of heaviness that release this depression, because we talked about the connecting spirits to the spirit of heaviness. We talked about self-pity, self-rejection, excessive mourning, sorrow, grief, brokenhearted, suicidal thoughts, inner hurts, torn spirit, despair, dejection, hopelessness, insomnia, and then we talked about depression. So depression is connected to the spirit of heaviness, amen, which is also a stronghold. So that's why we say we want to go a little bit into it, because after studying and reading a little bit more on the spirit of depression, sometimes you may hear people that deals with bipolar, amen, which bipolar is only something of this sort. It is a manic, depressive, or extreme mood swing. So you have people that have different personalities. One minute they're up, next minute they're down. One minute everything's good, next minute everything is going bad. So that is the bipolar depression. And sometimes you may hear people say, oh, it runs in our family. No, we shouldn't say those things, because we know that that is a generational curse. So when you know that this has been happening in your family, know that it's not something that's normal. No. That's not normal. That is a generational curse that needs to be broken. Amen. But most of the time, you will hear, amen, psychologists say, it may be something that was inherited in your family line. But we're not inheriting no demonic spirits, because bipolar depression is a demonic spirit. It is not just a mental depression, not just a mental situation. It's spiritual. Amen. Hallelujah. So that's why we have to pray against it. We have to continue to pray against it instead of saying it's normal, it's in my family bloodline, my mama had it, my uncle had it. No. It's at some point in life, we need to cut it at the root. Amen. Because this is a strong man that is trying to cause generational problems in the family. So if it can attach itself to the next generation and then the next generation, then it has succeeded. Because first of all, you're calling it into the atmosphere. Oh, it's just something in our family. No, we're breaking this generational problem curse before it starts in our family line again. So we must learn how to put our mind into the truth, which is in God's word, and begin to lose generational strongholds in the name of Jesus. And we have to be very careful with the words that come out of our mouth, because it is very important. Why? Because it will change the atmosphere. It will change different movement in the spirit. Amen. So that's why you have to release that. Amen. And there's other forms, because even people in ministry don't even know leaders is dealing with depression, but they're still operating. You know, depression is something that the enemy have released in the atmosphere for people to feel, hallelujah, in despair. He want them to be torn in spirit. Keep bringing inner hurts. Keep revealing the brokenheartedness, making them feel hopelessness, and allowing heaviness to be upon their shoulders when they're working and carrying a ministry. That's why we need to cast all our cares on Jesus. And don't try to hold everything. Amen? Hallelujah. Because a lot of times we try to hold everything when God is saying, no, give it to me, release it to me. Amen? So we must learn how to release it to him. Amen? Because when we don't release it to him, then all of these different spirits begin to try to attack us. Amen? And then false hope or misplaced expectations become our focus. Hallelujah. So we need to make sure that we cast all of our cares on God. Amen? And I don't know if we talked about it, but I'm going to talk about it again. Hallelujah. About unforgiveness. Hallelujah. Because a lot of us is dealing with unforgiveness. And the reason why some have sickness in their bodies, some is going through what they're going through, is because of unforgiveness. When Jesus have told us that we must forgive, because when we stand praying, we are told to forgive anyone that have done something against us. Hallelujah. Even when you read in the Beatitudes, amen, Jesus said we are not to judge or condemn, but we were to forgive and we will be forgiven. Amen. Just like the parable of the debtor, Jesus said, have compassion and forgive those who have wronged us and have peace about it. Now, it's not easy to have peace when somebody have wronged us or somebody have cheated us. But the Bible tells us that we must have compassion and forgive those that have wronged us, have cheated us, have betrayed us, talked about us, lied on us, and every negative thing that they could have done to us, we must forgive those that wronged us and have peace about it. See, you can't say you forgive them and still bring it up. You know, have you ever, you know, been in a situation when you thought a person had forgiven you and they constantly bring up what you have done in the argument that you may have had? So the argument could have been a year later after they have forgiven you of something that happened a year before. But when you begin to have that argument or have a disagreement, they begin to bring up things that year before. So how could they have forgiven you, and if they're still bringing it up this year later, means that they have not truly forgiven you and they have not had peace about it. So we need to pray and ask God that when we begin to forgive people that have wronged us, have cheated us, betrayed us, or whatever negative thing that they have done against us, teach us how to have peace about it. What is peace? Meaning that, okay, I haven't forgot what you've done, but because I love God and because God loves me and he tells me to have compassion and he tells me to forgive those that have wronged me, and when I do those things, my peace shall come. So I want my peace to arise. So I have to forgive you for wronging me. I have to have compassion, meaning loving you for real. Amen? And a lot of us have chose not to forgive. And when you don't forgive, you continue to be what? Tormented. Because your mind continue to what? Be in a dark place. Because first of all, you have not obeyed what God told you to do. He said to have compassion and forgive those that have wronged. So now you are being tormented by those things that people have done. So what happens is it becomes so bottled up in emotions and feelings that by the end of the day, you have a destructive, emotional, dysfunctional thought pattern that has been bottled up to rage. Hallelujah. And this becomes a side effect which affects you personally, because now, because of this unforgiveness, you have poor self-esteem. You withdraw constantly from those that God is trying to surround you around so that he can bless you. You have a difficulty in maintaining friendships. Amen? So this also leads to a severe depression. And if you're not careful, even most people have committed suicide. Amen? So these are negative dysfunctions that affect us physically. Amen? So when you have such a deep, hateful spirit, unforgiving spirit, retaliated spirit, amen, don't you know you begin to have headaches, migraines, chronic stress, anxiety, high blood pressure, ulcers, tumors. You begin to use more alcohol, more drug use, have a sexual dysfunctional drive because you have allowed this stronghold of unforgiveness to attach itself to you. So your anger is raging. Any wrong move somebody make, you're attacking them. Amen. Now you're operating and moving into the spirit of abandonment. And when you walk into the spirit of abandonment, You have the luxury of planning to revenge, amen. And you refuse to dwell on making things right, but you insist on having a negative, a dysfunctional mindset, amen. You begin to act in your own will and then begin to walk in disobedience unto God. That's why it's important that we forgive each individual person that's involved in any hurt or pain that we have been caused. Reconciliation is medicine. Reconciliation is your prescription. Reconciliation is the best antidote that you can have when you have been hurt or you are walking in unforgiveness. Amen. Reconciliation allows you to go to that person, amen, to be able to deal with the situation head on and settling out the differences. Amen. So, first of all, let's take this as step from step one down to about 3-4 steps. So the first step, we must recognize our anger. Then we need to make a decision to abandon the luxury of revenge and refuse to dwell on our past wrongs. Then after we do that, decide as an act of your will and in obedience to God to forgive the person involved in the hurt. Amen? And then this will begin the reconciliation step. Because when we begin steps to reconcile with the individual without any move on their part to correct their wrongdoing, we are able to walk in this last step. The last step may be impossible if the person who hurt us is already dead. So that's why you have to deal with it head on while they're still living. Amen. But if they have died or they're no longer here, you need to go into a place and ask the Lord to forgive not only yourself, but also those that have wronged you so that the forgiveness is complete as long as you're reconciled with your heart and your mind. If your heart and your mind are part of the reconciliation process, then God can begin to work with you. Amen? There's no right and wrong. There's no who gonna do it first. You have to free yourself. You can't wait for somebody to come and say they're sorry, even though I know they may be wrong. Sometimes we just gotta go to them. And even if we ain't even do it, suck it up. You know what? If I wronged you, if it was anything that I done, look, forgive me. Because now I am freeing myself from any unforgiveness, from any bitterness, from any anger. And even though they may not accept my apology or want to talk, I have freed my heart. I have freed my mind. Now I can walk in reconciliation, and I pray that I'm able to win my brother so that God can touch their hearts. But at least I have started that step of reconciliation, and my heart and my mind is now at peace. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that's where I wanted us to finish talking about the spirit of depression. Amen. Because it connected into the spirit of unforgiveness. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, the next spirit I want to talk about, the next stronghold, is the spirit of whoredom. Amen. The spirit of whoredom. Hallelujah. Let's go. Revelation 12:10 says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. For the accuser of our brethren is what cast down, which accursed them before our God day and night. So we already know that Satan is already accusing us of something we have not done. But the spirit of whoredom, the stronghold of whoredom, deals with unfaithfulness. And also adultery. Spiritual adultery and soul and body adultery. Amen. Because a lot of times we are committing spiritual adultery against God. We know in the book of Ezekiel how they constantly, come on now, dealt with spiritual adultery. Because they always fought against the will of God. The spirit of whoredom also ties into the stronghold of love of money. You know, there's nothing wrong with money. We need money to take care of our everyday accessories. Amen? But we should not love it. God says that he will provide all of our needs through Christ Jesus. The Bible also reminds us the Lord is our shepherd and we should not want. So because my Lord, my Jesus, tell me that he will provide all of my needs and that he says that he will give me what I want. Hallelujah. He's my shepherd and he will provide whatever I want. Now, I know he cares about what I want, and it has to line up with what it has to line up with what he wants for my life. So long as it's lining up with what he wants for my life, I don't care if I ask for it and he don't give it to me, because evidently it does not line up with my life. I know God's going to give me what I need, not just what I want. We can want a lot of things, but it may not be what we need. So a lot of times we're at begging and asking God, give me this, give me that. And God knows that we can't even handle what we're asking for. So he is trying to protect us so that we will not step out of that hedge of protection and out of the will of God. But we constantly pull on God and say, Lord, give me, give me, give me. When God shows us through signs, miracles, and wonders, he shows us through visions and dreams what we really need. But sometimes because we want people to see us, or we want our name to be called, or we want to be in the limelight, we want what we want. But the thing is, it's not about getting what we want. We have to ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to have? How do you want me to use what I have? When do you want me to use what I have? Where do you want me to use what I have? Why do you want me to use what I have? And who do you want me to do it with and give what I have? Those are the, and how? How should I do what you give me because you said that I should have? How do I do it to make it right? Those are things that we need to ask God. But we want what we want. And sometimes the love of money takes us out of the will of God because we lose focus. We say, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to do this for the Lord. God, if you just bless me one more time, if you do this one more time, and soon when he blesses us, soon when it happened, we don't see you. Soon when he does it, you're not faithful. Soon when he does it, you don't sow. You don't be a blessing back to the ministries. Because you're not blessing the ministries, you're blessing God. You're doing what the Bible says to do your 10%, especially those that labor and pray with you. Those that labor and do, you know, they're walking with God. And they're not even asking for anything. But we'd be so quick and go over here and because this prophet said this over here. And that prophet would never pray for you. That prophet will never labor the time that the men and women of God in your life have labored but you want to come in $5, $10, $1. Are you serious? You know, God begins to reveal these things to those that are seeking the face of God. And the thing is, we're not robbing the church. We're robbing God. Hallelujah. Because the light's still on. The rent is still paid. And everything that the ministries need to do God's work is still running. Because we don't put our trust in man. We put our trust in God. But the spirit of whoredom is when you walk in unfaithfulness. The love of money. An excessive appetite. Fornication. A chronic dissatisfaction. Idolatry. Worldliness. You know, you see a lot of men and women of God that says they love God. And you see them on the pulpit all in the spirit of God. But then when they leave the pulpit, their life is totally different. They don't do the things that they show the church they do on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday, on Saturday. Only on Sunday. It's a form of godliness. But Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday is a form of godliness. Just a form on Sunday. But the rest of the days, they deny the power thereof. Because God is nowhere in their week. Only on Sunday. Or only when the saints are looking. Only when there's other men and women of God around. But what are we doing when no one is looking? Amen. And a lot of times we as leaders, we can be so critical. We can be so critical in accusing and judging or questioning the motives of others. Amen. See, you need to leave that to Satan. That's what Satan does. Satan is an accuser of the brethren. But we say that we are great men and women of God, but we're still accusing one another. We're still judgmental. We're still questioning, you know, oh, I don't know about her. Oh, I don't know about him. They just look like, you know, how are we questioning God's anointing? If that's something that you may see in the spirit, pray about it. Amen. Because when we accuse or we question, or criticize someone in Christ, we're actually siding with the enemy. That's what Satan does. He's an accuser of the brethren. He judges. He accuses. He criticizes. He questions. Amen? And then it ends up that a lying spirit can use that to open up a door the devil can take advantage of to neutralize us spiritually. So what happens is this. Something goes on in the ministry. One member leaves that ministry, goes to another ministry, and because they was walking in rebellion, they were rebellious, and they were disobedient, and just didn't want to wait on God, they will go and lie and say, the leaders did this, the leader did that. And then the other leader that they're talking to become critical, and they have allowed the lie, hallelujah, to penetrate. So now you see the leader is questioning, come on, and begin to criticize the other men or women of God, right in front of the leader. I mean, right in front of the member. Instead of them just praying about it and stopping them in their tracks and saying, listen, let's pray about it. Not allowing them to constantly talk about the matter, but continue to say, let's pray. That's a real leader. Because as leaders, we must not allow people to come in and begin to criticize other leaders. We must, and then, you know, in another case, the other leader may have done something out of the will of God to that individual. But we still have to be very careful in our conversation, in our wording, because we should not put our mouth on any other leader. Hallelujah. So this opens up a door. See, only God knows the intent of man's heart. And therefore, he is the only one. Hallelujah. God is the only one. God is the only one. I'm saying this again. God is the only one who can truly judge what is going on in the hearts of others. So that's why when you say, you know what, let's just pray about this. You know, I'm not saying that you're lying. I'm not saying that you're not lying, but let's pray about this. You know, because at the end of the day, no matter how, where we leave, we should make sure that we leave in the right way. See, somebody could have easily offended us and done something wrong. But if you leave in the right way, remember, it will not come back to mess with you in your heart and mind, right? Because we talked about that last step in forgiveness. Because when you can reconcile with whatever differences you may have had with someone that offended you, it reconciles your heart and your mind. Amen? So that's why we must discipline our mind so that each time we are tempted to be critical or quick to accuse or judge someone, we will not say it. We would not let words come out of our mouth. Hallelujah. And we would choose not to be critical by the power of the Holy Spirit, because Holy Spirit knows all. That's why we must get into God's word, amen, and have a working knowledge of the scriptures. We need to reject the devil's temptation in these areas of our lives and the lives of the believer so that we can stay free. And I'm glad that we came right there, because I want to talk to you about temptations. Hallelujah. God would never tempt us to do anything at all. So if you're having some temptations, that's not God. That's the devil. Amen. So at the end of the day, we must understand that we must respect the priority of the word of God. Amen. We must respect the priority of the sovereignty of God. And we must respect the priority of the worship of God. Amen? Why? Because in the kingdom of God, we know that everything is spiritual, eternal. And submission and worship is very important. But in the kingdom of this world, we understand that it's just temporal. It's physical. Come on now. But we must understand that we must be considered just like Jesus is of light. Amen. So that's why when Jesus began to teach, hallelujah, one of the things that Jesus began to teach is he taught was how we gain. It says he teaches us that if we gain the whole world and yet lose our soul, we have failed. Let me say that again. He teaches us that if we gain the whole world and yet lose our souls, we have failed. See, we are not to worry or fret over temporal needs. But we need to trust God and seek God first in his kingdom. We are not to fear those who can destroy the body, but rather the one who will judge the soul. And Jesus is the only one that can judge the soul. Amen? Hallelujah. So at the end of the day, because Jesus is the only one that can judge the soul, we must understand that his kingdom is not of this world, and that it is why he told his disciples they didn't have to fight. Hallelujah. Because, first of all, he's Christ. Hallelujah. So at the end of the day, we need to understand that temptation has nothing to do with any of the traditional obvious sins. Amen? See, temptation focuses on abuse of power. When you abuse the power that God has invested in you to lead his people, God sees all things. And we can sometimes be so critical and judgmental against the people of God, those that God have allowed us to shepherd. Most of the time, some leaders abuse the power that God has given unto us. Amen. And in this, people begin to lose hope in the things of God. Hallelujah. One thing I want you to understand is that when you allow this type of temptation to embed in your heart, it is an attack on your identity. Amen. Hallelujah. You must declare to be the Son of God. Amen. Because we have been given the power and authority to do things in the things of God. Hallelujah. You got to understand this. We will never be free from this body and this world and this life. That's why you have to stay in God. Do everything in God. Read and understand God's word. Amen. Because we have a vulnerability. Amen. And each one of us have a different area of vulnerability. So that's why you see so many people that are tempted to hold on to the things so tightly of this world, because they're still trusting their own will, their own wisdom, everything within their own self, their own reach, instead of trusting in the Lord. It says to what? We do not worry or fret over temporal needs, but trust God and seek first his kingdom. Amen. So when we first seek the kingdom of God, everything else is added on to us. Hallelujah. And because everything is added on to us, it is because we're seeking first the kingdom of God. So, I just want you to understand that we must continue to not trick ourselves and say, we are tempted. No. Temptation comes from the enemy. You need to cleanse your heart. You need to cleanse your mind. Don't allow those temptations to take you out of the will of God. Amen? Because when you allow those temptations to take you out of the will of God, then you become so critical, accusing, judging, and questioning the motives of others, which make you become like an accuser of the brethren, which is the devil. Amen. Hallelujah. So we must continue to discipline our mind so that each time we become tempted to be critical, the power of the Holy Spirit will wash it away through reading the Word of God. That's why we must stay in the Word of God, because it is the scriptures that give us knowledge and understanding to reject every and any of Satan's temptation, so that we can stay free. And we must be filled with the Holy Spirit so we have the power we need to not only be free from a critical spirit, but to be the person God wants us to be. It doesn't come automatically, and it does not come overnight. We must establish a track record by living a disciplined life of obedience to God through reading His Word, stand in the secret place with God, in the presence of God, over a period of time, meaning all the time, meaning throughout your time, it needs to be God. We just give God just a little time. But we give our jobs all the time. We give people all our time. But when it comes to God, we want to rush God in His time. We don't want this to become a habit pattern, because it becomes dysfunctional. And we are not operating in dysfunctional order, but we operate in the order of God. Amen. Now we're talking about the spirit of infirmity. Another stronghold. Amen. See, an infirmity is a type of disease, disorder, or weakness in the body. See, we choose to accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. So we must choose to be healed. The Bible says by His stripes we are healed. Period. We're healed. Okay, I know sickness may come. I know different infirmities may come. But we understand by faith that we're healed. So now we need to begin to call forth what's written. We need to decree and declare what's written. So I'm not going to say that I'm going to be healed in Christ Jesus because I'm already healed. It's written. But I'm praying that God gives me good health, meaning that I'm going to go deep down inside to check my heart, to check my mind, to make sure that I don't have any critical thinking. I'm not judgmental. I'm not questioning. I'm not angry. I'm not walking in unforgiveness. Bitterness is nowhere around me. Come on. Retaliation is nowhere in sight. Resentment is nowhere creeping. All of these different strongholds that we're talking about. No, the spirit of lying is nowhere there. The spirit of jealousy, enviness. So I'm making sure that my heart is clean. Because a lot of times we walk around with bitterness, which is the root. Oh my God. When you walk around with the root of bitterness, it kills the body. Because there's no love. And where there's no love, what grows? Love's supposed to grow. Love's supposed to flourish. Love's supposed to spring forth. Love's supposed to just be within you. Without love, you're dead. You're dead. Meaning you're dehydrated. You're dysfunctional. Come on now. You have no growth. You're withering. You need love. So bitterness can cause a dryness. Can cause disease, infirmities. All of these things that deals with unforgiveness and bitterness and anger and wrath and hatred. We make our own self sick. That's why it's like the spirit of infirmity, because we're allowing this spirit of infirmity to take over us when we already know that we are already healed in Christ Jesus. But because we can't let this unforgiveness go, because we can't let this bitterness go, because we can't let this hatred go, we can't allow this discrimination to go, we can't allow this racism to go, come on, this sexism to grow, come on. We don't want to let it go. It still lingers in our mind. My mama did this. My daddy did that. My uncle did this. My sister did. When is it going to stop? Hey, come on now. It needs to stop. You need to get it at the root. Yes, I know they did it. Yes, it was wrong. But it's time for us to grow up. It's time for us to get over it. Hallelujah. If I begin to talk about where I come from, in my past, what happened, which some of my testimonies you hear, I'm supposed to be down in the root. For what? No, I'm not going to end my life just because certain things didn't happen the way that I thought they will. You know, I thought I'd grow up in a White House picket fence, dog walking around, apple tree in the front yard, everything just good and dandy, but that's not a real life. That is a fantasy. That's make believe. Hallelujah. How would I ever have a testimony? How would I ever have a conviction without not going through nothing? Yes, it happened. Yes, it was wrong. Yes, they shouldn't have did it. But it's time for us to grow up. It's time for us to forgive. It's time for us to say, you know what? I'm not going to allow this to keep on hindering my life. Because the reason why you can't grow, and the reason why it's like a revolving door, and the reason why the strongholds keep building upon one another, and not only is it building upon in your life, but it's coming in your children's life. It's coming in your marriage. Everything around you, your work, your business, your money, everything. It is a spiritual attachment. And until you let that bitterness go, until you let that unforgiveness go, until you let that hatred go, that discrimination go, that racism go, that sexism go, all of that wrath go, that anger go, come on now, that jealousy to go, the enviness to go, huh? When you decree and declare it to be gone, to die and never to rise back up again, that's what you have to do. It's not in control of you. You are in control of it. It's up to you. When you call those things forth in the atmosphere has to shift to what you say. Because God gave us the power and authority to say, let there be. And whatever comes out of our mouth, it should be. The reason why things keep happening, because you keep on saying it. It ain't the devil. It's you. Sometimes it's not even Satan. It's you. You are putting these strongholds on yourself because of your words. And then Satan is having a field day because he said, I ain't even got to do no work. She cursing herself. He cursing herself. They cursing each other. He's sitting back laughing. And then we wonder why we're sick. We wonder why diabetes. We wonder why high blood pressure. We wonder why dialysis. We wonder why all these things. We have to personally come to Christ and accept what he has done for us on a personal basis. See, a lot of us do not meet God's requirement to be saved. So as much as God wants us to receive salvation, so some remain unsaved because God will not violate man's will. You have to come to Christ. He's not going to force you. I'm not going to stick the Bible in your mouth and boom, boom, boom. I just got to give you the word. He said, let all men be drawn to me. So as I'm letting my light shine, as I'm giving you the word of God, you're not being drawn to me. You're being drawn to God. God is just in me. He said, I will draw all men to me because Christ lives in me. That means he's drawing you to him. So that's why leaders, we have to be a light. We have to not only preach Christ, but we have to live it. Because we may be the only beacon light that somebody ever sees. The only beacon word that somebody hears. And the only beacon person that they may even see. What are your words saying? Amen? See, a lot of times the reason why healing is not coming is because there has been a breakdown somewhere in the knowledge of what God's will is about healing. You got to understand healing. Spiritual healing. What does the Bible say about healing? There were so many stories in the Word of God on how Jesus healed the leper, the blind man, the woman with the issue of blood. They have a name. Come on, Bartimaeus, okay? But I'm talking about the woman with the issue of blood. She didn't have a name. She had an issue. But she understood that Jesus was a healer because she heard that he was coming in town. And in spite of her bleeding, because, you know, back then, if you was considered unclean, you would be stoned if you was caught in the courts with those that were clean. But she heard that Jesus was coming to town. And not only did she hear it through the grapevine, but she heard him coming because there was tonsils on the end of his robe, meaning that when he began to walk, it was a sound.
So she followed the sound because she could not come straight up. She had to come down, bowing down, bent over. And it was her that Jesus says, who touched me? It was her heartfelt faith. While everybody else was upright, Jesus, Jesus. A whole crowd of people. But it was her touch that said, who touched me? Her touch. And we will say, this dirty lady, it doesn't matter. Her heart was right. She was ready to receive healing. She understood that he was the healer. He was he was life. Only if she can just touch him. She didn't even have to be in his face. We too busy want to be in people's face instead of touching Jesus. We need to touch Jesus. When we learn to touch Jesus, that is our healing portion right there. Learn how to touch Jesus. Touch him through his word. Touch him through relationship. Touch him through intimacy. Touch him by being in his presence. That's how you're able to touch Jesus. Stay out of everybody's face and touch Jesus. That's why we can't get nowhere, because we want to touch everybody instead of Jesus. She touched Jesus. And that's why she was healed. Amen. See, God cannot be used as a cop out. Amen. Hallelujah. No. He's used to, he is a healer. We know that if we touch him, we're healed. By his stripes, we're already healed. Amen. Because it doesn't matter what nobody else believes. It's what the Bible says. The Bible is the truth. Hallelujah. The Bible is the truth. And it is all the truth. Hallelujah. Like it or not, the Bible is the truth. So I don't know what truth you're running after. But the Bible is the truth. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So that's why we must understand that we must continue to trust God in our healing. Because when we trust God in our healing, amen, God will heal us. But if you don't trust him in your healing, how is healing going to come? It's not going to come. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe we're close to that time. Hallelujah. Amen. So we will be coming back on next week, the Lord is willing, and we'll talk about the spirit of death. Amen. Another stronghold, amen, has been released. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And we're tied in with the spirit of Antichrist. Hallelujah. So we'll tie in, let's just go, we'll start off with the spirit of Antichrist, and then we'll come in with the spirit of, hallelujah, death. Amen. Amen. That's right, because I really wanted us to break down that spirit. Amen. The spirit of Antichrist. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're getting somewhere, right? Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. He's teaching us, amen, on how to pour down strongholds and how to cast down vain imaginations, amen, by understanding what strongholds are. Because you can't pull down a stronghold or go into a strong man's house without first pulling them down. If you don't know what it is, then how you going to pull it down? You got to know the strong man, amen. You got to know what is built upon, amen, and how to pull it down and how to cast down every vain imagination that tries to rise itself up against the will of God. You got to know all these things, because if you don't know it, then how you going to pull it down? How you going to cast it out if you don't know? Amen. And I believe the Spirit of the Lord is teaching us through the biblical studies every Thursday, 6:30 to 7:30, an hour. Amen. I want to respect the time of God's people, as the Lord always say, to make sure that we're doing everything decently and in order. Hallelujah. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now for your word. We thank you, Lord God, that your word, Lord God, continue to give us the power, Lord God, to move forward. And because of the power that you have given us to move forward, the words that you have given unto us, we thank you, God, that because your word is true, because your word is healing, because your word is life, And because your word is power, we'll take your word, the word of God, and continue, oh God, to read upon it, to stand upon it, to live upon it in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for releasing unto us the knowledge and understanding and wisdom of your word and teaching us, oh God, how to continue, oh God, to pull down strongholds in our life, oh God, by praying and coming against them, by knowing exactly what to pray and how to pray in the mighty name of Jesus, because all that we know how to call it forth as we know. And when we know, we are able to call forth the truth, and the truth just set us free. So because we're calling forth the truth and having understanding on every stronghold and every bad imagination that's in our lives, Lord God, that we will walk circumspectly, clean unto you, O God, whole unto you, O God, so that, Lord God, we can glorify you in the mighty name of Jesus. Continue, God, to use us as your vessel. Continue to order our steps in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord God, there may be somebody out there under the sound of my voice that know you, but may have never accepted you as their Lord and Savior, may have never accepted you as being their Father in Christ, Lord God. Lord God, I ask you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God, to forgive them. Forgive them. So all I need for you to do is just ask the Lord God to forgive you. Forgive me. Just say, Lord God, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord, of everything that I have done, every sin that I've committed unto you, knowingly and unknowingly, Lord God. Lord God, I ask you, Lord God, to forgive me, O God. Wash me, O God. Make me as white as snow, O God. And Lord God, because I believe in my heart and I'm confessing with my mouth that you are my Lord and Savior, that you did die for me, that you have given me life in the mighty name of Jesus. You have died for me. And because you have died for me, O God, Lord God, that I will continue, oh God, to have continue to walk according to your will. And Lord God, now that you have given me a chance to be in the kingdom of God, I thank you for becoming the son of God. Lord God, as I open up my mouth wide, I pray that you release the Spirit, the Holy Spirit upon me, oh God, because I know the Holy Spirit gives me power to trample over every enemy that tries to rise up against me in the mighty name of Jesus. And I thank you, oh God, that even with the Holy Spirit that's been given unto me now, I thank you, oh God, that you would allow me, oh God, to raise the dead, heal the sick, and cast out demons in your name, in the mighty name of Jesus. And I will continue to submit myself under the mighty hand of God. Oh God, thank you, Lord God, for welcoming me into the kingdom of God. And God, I just thank you, God, for divinely connecting me to the word in the mighty name of Jesus, and allowing the Holy Spirit to teach me all things as you divinely connect me to those that will help cultivate the gifts and the giftings and anointing that's placed on my life to call forth, to be, go forth, and to do your will in the kingdom of God. And God, I will always continue to give you the glory. I will always give you the praise in Jesus' mighty name. And you are saved, and we thank God for your life. We thank God that you have joined us, SOAR International Biblical Study. This is Lady Apostle, and until next time, may God bless you. And if God is willing, we will be here on Sunday, 8:45 a.m., hallelujah, Eastern Time. Come and join us in person, in service, 1115 Hicks Boulevard, Suite 5, Fairfield, Ohio, 45014, because God is going to be moving in this ministry. Like it or not, you may see, whatever you may see now, just know that God is about to move mightily, amen, in Jesus' name. And nothing, no words, no nothing will be able to stop this move that God is about to do. So you might as well come on board, because God is about to do a great work. Like it or not, God has already said it is done in Jesus' name. So God bless everybody. We love you, and know that because Jesus loves you, that is more important. And we love you. May God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen and glory to God. Have a blessed evening. Goodbye.